Chapter 33. A log dropped in the fireplace, sending a shower of sparks up the chimney. "Miss Carolina, please let me have that gun. It is old, but it might go off accidentally. It's fully loaded except for one bullet," Grant said, leaning toward Carolina.
"Yes, it was loaded, except for the one bullet that killed Markham," she said. "Don't worry, Sheriff. I took all the bullets out."
Pat's frightened voice broke the silence.
"I don't understand. That gun, it looks so old. Why on earth did you keep a murder weapon all those years, Miss Carolina?"
Mom stared at the box in Miss Carolina's hands.
"She didn't keep it. It lay in a well for nearly 100 years.
Pat drew a quick breath.
"Do you mean that's what Cub found, instead of gold or money?"
Mom nodded.
"It is, but how did you come to have it, Miss Carolina?"
Miss Georgia turned toward my mother. She had a handkerchief in her hands and kept twisting it through her fingers. As she looked at Mom, she spoke to Miss Carolina.
"Let me tell her, sister. You see, Flora, we didn't know what Cub had found. The only thing we knew was that he had found something that had been on your land, and it had been there for a long time. We were afraid it had something to do with what had happened so long ago. Mama told us after Papa died that he had shot a bad man once, and that Mama and Papa and your parents got rid of his body. She said she herself threw away the gun that Papa used to kill Mr. Caldwell, even though that gun had been in our family since the Civil War. Whatever it was Cub found, we didn't want anything known that could cast aspersions on our parents. They were such good people."
Miss Carolina interrupted. "We didn't ask Mama any more questions about the murder. Georgia and I were horrified, and it made Mama's head hurt to talk about it. We figured we couldn't accidentally mention something that we didn't know anything about. We were afraid Cub had found some sort of proof that Papa had killed a man in a fit of anger. Oh, I know it was self-defense, but Papa's temper was well known. We wanted whatever it was that Cub found, so we hired a young man we know, a very trustworthy young fellow, to take it without your knowledge, Flora, and bring it to us."
A dull red crept up Pat's neck. "Would the name of that young man be Jasper?"
"Yes, yes, it was Jasper," Georgia said. "But I want you to know that he meant no harm. We told him that it was dangerous for you to have whatever it was in your possession, and he would be doing you a favor by bringing it to us. So that's what he did."
Burke shook his head and chuckled.
"I can't see what's so funny about a breaking and entering, Burke, even if nobody meant any harm,"
Grant snapped.
Jackson grinned, too.
"I see a bit of humor there. Who would be less likely suspects than these two frail ladies? But I would advise both of you against taking up a life of crime."
"So I guess my son knew when he saw that old gun with the journal that the gun must be what you two wanted,"
Pat said slowly, narrowing her eyes in thought.
"He was probably in a hurry to get out of Flora's house before he got caught and just grabbed up what he saw on the table. And Jasper, being Jasper, he wouldn't have wanted you to have the journal since it had Miss Grace's name on it. He has a strange sense of honor," she sighed. "But at least he's got one."
Carolina nodded and clicked the lid down on the cedar box.
"Go on with the journal, Darcy," Mom directed.
"Granny's entry stopped there," I said. "She didn't write again until the next week. November 8, 1918. Why am I writing all this? Maybe to absolve my conscience, maybe because it's too great a secret. Or maybe because in writing it I can begin to make some sort of sense out of a horrible nightmare. After Judge Jenkins shot Markham, he and Papa wrapped him in one of Mama's oldest quilts, and they carried him outside. I didn't ask where they were taking him. When they came back inside the house a couple of hours later, they just told us it was all taken care of, and they wouldn't say anything more. I don't think I wanted to know what they did with him." Mama and Miss Polly were near hysteria. While the men were out, Mama was crying, and she went to the family Bible and ripped out the page that recorded Markham's and my wedding. She ran into the kitchen and dumped her silverware out of the sheepskin. She put the Bible page in that sheepskin. The judge had dropped his gun onto the floor after he shot Markham. I can still see Miss Polly's face as she picked that gun up by the handle and put it on top of the marriage record. She said she didn't care if it had belonged to the judge's father and had seen use in the Civil War. She didn't want it ever to connect the judge with murder. She didn't want the judge to see it when he came back inside, and she told Mama to put it someplace where it wouldn't ever be found. Then Mama took the whole bundle and hid it under her mattress. She said she would dispose of it next day where it wouldn't be found. Nobody ever mentioned it again. "I've got to have more coffee," I said. Grant went with me to the coffee pot. We both refilled our cups.
"Are you going to be all right?"
he asked. I nodded. "Grant, it is like I'm reliving all the pain these people went through. What a terrible thing to keep secret all these years." Pat, too, brought her empty cup to the coffee pot. "Darcy, is there more to that journal?" "One more entry, Pat. We are almost finished." We sat down and I opened the journal to the last page. November 30, 1918. It is like a dream. Only it's a good dream this time, almost too good to be true. My George is alive. He was injured and in a hospital, but he did not die. His records got all mixed up. He said that happened to a lot of the soldiers. He is home, and my world is sunny once again. I've told him all about Markham, and I think Papa told him where they buried Markham. I didn't know if George would understand or if he would blame me for not waiting, but he loves me. Oh, my heart is singing. He loves me, and we are going to be married. It was a solemn group of people in my mother's living room. Miss Georgia softly wept into her handkerchief, and Miss Carolina stared at the lid of the cedar box, industriously polishing it with her sleeve. When I laid the journal down, I felt as if I had been working all day. I was completely drained. Mom wore a small smile, and Jackson looked thoughtful, staring into the fireplace. Pat dabbed at her eyes and sniffed loudly. Burke cleared his throat and then spoke slowly.
"My father told me about the marriage between Markham and Miss Grace. He said he wished he had refused to perform the ceremony because he was afraid the marriage would not be a happy one, but he hoped Markham would change his wild ways."
"I'm glad that the truth about my father's part in this did not come out while he was alive," Carolina said.
Miss Georgia placed a trembling hand on Carolina's arm.
"Oh, sister, it would have killed Mother if Father had been branded a murderer."
She looked nervously around the room.
"Surely, now that the truth is known, it won't be recorded anywhere or be brought up again, will it?"
That was something I hadn't considered. People kept warning me that sometimes long-ago events were best left buried. Had my digging into the past resulted in pain for the innocent people in the present? Still, it seemed that I had no choice but to try to find out the secrets behind the gun and the baffling marriage of my grandmother to one obscure Markham Caldwell. Grant glanced at Jackson Connor, drew a deep breath, and said,
"I see no reason this should go any further than this room. It happened a long time ago, and I believe justice was carried out."
Jackson thoughtfully smoothed his mustache.
"I agree," he said.
"Mum's the word," Pat added. Mom looked at Miss Georgia, and it seemed an unspoken message flashed between them. The mystery of what had happened to Granny Grace's first husband was solved, but the secret of Mom's parentage was hers and her mother's. They chose to keep it. Pat rose.
"Are you going to prefer charges against my boy, Grant?" she asked.
"That is up to Darcy and Miss Flora," Grant answered.
"Charges, whatever for?"
Mom asked. Jackson stood up too and shook his head.
"Someday that boy is going to come up against someone who is not as kind-hearted as you, Flora. Better keep a close rein on him, Pat."
Pat sighed. "As if I could."
"I'll walk out to the car with you ladies,"
Burke told the Mrs. Jenkins.
"It's a mite slick underfoot. Can't have either of you falling and breaking a bone."
Only Grant was left of our visitors. He picked up some empty coffee cups and carried them to the sink.
A couple of generations ago, 5 people kept a secret of how a man was killed,
he said.
Do you realize that we are still keeping that secret 100 years later?
I nodded. Yes. Now it is something that 8 people know, and I don't think any of us will repeat what we've heard here tonight.
Grant, do you know what was so important about our land that it cost Eileen her life and very nearly cost Darcy hers?
Mom asked.
Grant nodded. I do, but I'd like to show you instead of telling you. If the weather is good, could I pick you up tomorrow morning and take you for a little ride in the country?
If this is the way you want to explain it to us, Grant, we'll be ready, I said.